I'm going to give you a couple of commercials first. I'm going to look at the clock. I got a lot to go with, but you know me. I got to start off with something. I had a horrible night last night. Just suffice it to say, as nights go, last night was a very bad, hurt my heart type of night. And it took until 12:30 for me to realize just how bad my heart was hurting. But I said to myself, self, you've got your message outlined. You get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock every day. You'll put the finishing touches on it. Now, I promise you, 30 out of 31 days, if there's 31 days in a month, 30 out of 31 days, I am up by 5 o'clock. Amen. Not this morning. 7:30. I had no opportunity to go back over my message, change my mind, and do all that. And I just walked in here, and I'm going to tell y'all, Cindy knows, I was frazzled until I heard you worship. And there was a blanket of the peace and the presence of God that just washed over me. Church, I don't know if we really understand, if we really comprehend the gift that God has given us in this church, the gifts of others to lead us in worship, the strength and the power and the anointing on Kevin and on Carrie and on Darla and on Cindy and on Ben and on Paul and on Zach. Thank you. But look, today was not about me. I'm over here. And you know what? Everything was okay. It's not about me. But let me tell you what was even better than that. Because, look, I'm partial. I know what I got. I know what kind of team God has blessed us with in this church. I know. I've been around a lot of churches. I've heard a lot of other stuff. And, yes, there's better musicians out there, there's better singers out there, there's better arrangers out there, and Michelle, there's even better sound and audiovisual techs out there. I'm sorry, you're great, but my goodness, the anointing of the Lord, as it washed from them over you, I hushed my mouth, which is something I don't usually do in worship. And I just, thank you, Father Lod. But I just listened. And as much as the anointing washed over, it came back in a huge wave. God has blessed us in this church. Amen? Amen. Just got to say that. And we know, every single one of us will tell you, it ain't us. Amen. Amen? Father Looker is taking a day off. He's sitting in a chair. I'm glad he's there because he won't make a scene of himself when he faints because I am taking out my message. You can teach an old dog new tricks. Thank you. Thank you. It goes along with my pink Bible, if you remember that. But because I am an old dog, I got the printed one too, just in case this malfunctions. That's wisdom. The first thing I want to read to you is what we heard in our first lesson. And in our lesson from Jeremiah, we hear this. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. If you take out the precious from the vial. The first thing I noticed in that, and I didn't prepare my message on that, but it goes right with what I did prepare. The first thing I noticed on that is precious and vial were together. Amen. You had to take out the precious from the vial. Amen. How many of you live where I live? There's a lot of good things with There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of precious things, Cindy. But there's a lot of vile things as well. If I'm being really honest. By the way, for those of you who have open-toed shoes today, I apologize. Because they're going to get stepped on. Because mine did. I was in my flip-flops. And man, my toes are swollen. But I think the Lord has a word for us today that we need to hear. And we need to be reminded. And yes, in it shall be encouragement. Amen? Amen. Our scripture today, I want to set it, gospel reading today, I want to set it up, give you the context, because context is always good to know. Jesus was getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He had all his peeps with him. He's getting ready to go, but he had a question. And that question, this is the context before we get to our reading. That question was, who do men say that I am? And they gave him all types of worldly answers. But then Jesus, looking for the precious in the vial. Oh, come on, it's going to preach today, I'm telling you. Looking for the precious in the vial, Jesus says, Peter, who do you say I am? And the precious came out. Jesus spoke, and the precious came out of the vial.
Yes, it did.
You are the Son of the living God, the Messiah. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Hallelujah.
Amen? I mean, come on, we know those scriptures. Upon the rock that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the chosen one, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But if we're not careful, the vial can give it a run for its money. And where does that vial come from? The same place the precious came from. The vial comes from within us. What? Well, Peter was just declared the rock of the church. A whole entire denomination and many others outside of that denomination feel that he is the head of the first Christian church. Upon that rock. Then Jesus said, well, that's great. I'm glad you understand, Peter. Let me tell you what's going to happen to me. Let me tell you why we're going to Jerusalem. Let me tell you what they're going to do to me. And Peter listened and he said, the scripture makes it very clear. Peter rebuked Jesus. Peter rebuked the Son of the living God. Peter rebuked the Messiah. Didn't he just proclaim that's who he was? And now he's going to, let me talk to you, boy. What was that? That was vile. Because Jesus, with the same mouth that just said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. What? Precious and vile, we're living together. And then he says these words to Peter, and this is where we're going. He says, you know not what you're talking about.
Amen.
That's your flesh.
Amen.
I'm paraphrasing. You don't know what you're talking about. That's your flesh. That's your vial, Peter. And then he goes on and says, Matthew 16. Then Jesus turned to all the disciples. He handled Peter. you know, probably better than I would have. What? That's just me. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. My question is to you today, what are you losing your life for? Is it the precious or is it the vile? You guys got to understand something. I'm just going to tell you right now. That whole precious and vile thing just happened when I was sitting here in worship after I heard the scripture read. Now, how am I going to do this, looker? Father, how do I scroll on a screen, hold a handheld, and prance around? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Yeah, just unhook that right there. Let me get just a little organized. And now just pull it, kind of squeeze. There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Let's make this perfectly straight. You're not going to find your life if you lose it for yourself. We spend our entire lives trying to be happy. We spend our entire lives trying to be our best selves. We spend our entire lives trying to make a name or a reputation for ourselves. We spend our entire lives living in the right house, in the right neighborhood, with the right job, with the right wife, with the proper kids, so everybody will know what a good person we are and how wonderful we are. Sorry, that's vile. That's not the precious thing that is in each one of us. The precious thing that is in each one of us is the glory of God by the salvation of Jesus Christ through the cross. That is what's precious in us. See, at that time, Peter could not see past his own understanding that the final destiny was death. Jesus was looking past the cross. He knew the grave, and he knew the stone was going to be rolled away. Peter just saw the end of all his personal ambition. If they kill Jesus, then what am I? I'm just a footnote in history, if at best, because I was stupid for following this false prophet who got killed and died. That's what Peter was worried about. What are we worried about when we serve God in the world? What reputation are we trying to protect? What friendships do we want to, oh, I don't want them to think that about me. Oh, I don't want them to know that about me. Or they might not understand me. They might not get it. What will they think about me? What will my boss say? What will my friends say if I say, oh, I really can't do that because, you know, that's not what I do. What am I going to do? Maybe I'll protect the vile in me rather than let them see the precious. We must deny ourselves in order to be a follower of Jesus. And we're not just talking chocolate cake. But there are times to deny yourself chocolate cake. Sorry, Joe. I told you. I hope your toes are up because it... You know, we're not just talking about denying yourself a night out for dinner. We're not just talking about denying yourself a meal or a fast. We're not just talking about denying yourself a day at the beach rather than being in church. We're not just talking about that. We're talking about denying your flesh. Now, Paul was very clear in the book of Galatians. His list of the acts of the flesh, I broke them into two categories. We're not going to talk about them all. We're just going to look at them. We know them. Some of them I practice really good. There's obvious ones. Sexual immorality, debauchery, idolatry, drunkenness, and orgies. I ain't got nothing else to say about that. We're just going to leave them out. But this next tier is a little bit more difficult to define. Impurity. Now, I automatically, as I think most of us do, I automatically associate impurity with the sexual connotation. But let me ask you something. If the vial is living with the precious in a metal, doesn't the vial make the metal impure? If impurity doesn't just have to have that reference to it, impurity can be a double-minded man. Impurity can be, again, for simply stated, impurity can be allowing vile to maintain a place where precious resides, making precious impure. Hatred. Oh, that's such a harsh word. I don't hate anybody. Just have a conversation with me any given day. Oh, I hate it when people do that. Oh, I hate this. Oh, I hate that. Oh, I hate asparagus. Now, look it. I'm not going to go to hell because I hate asparagus. But I'm just letting y'all know there's hate in me. There is hate in me, and there are circumstances that, bless my little heart, I just can't stand. Code word, I hate that. Is that anybody else? Or is it? It's okay. It's just me. Pray for me. Woo! Put your feet up. Discord, dissensions, and factions. I lump them all together. And the reason why I lumped them all together is because they are familiar spirits with each other. If you find one, I guarantee you, you're going to find the other two. I'm looking around. How long you been in church? I've been here for a long time. I know about discord. I know about dissension. I know about factions. I know what it's like to take an offense. Let me tell you what he did to me, Casey. He did what, Father Scott? Yeah, he did. Oh, wow. A nerve of him. Casey says to Roger, hey, Roger, do you know what so-and-so did to Father Scott? Before you know, we got a little dissension going on. We got a little discord going on. We have a faction going on because now when so-and-so comes up to Roger, he immediately is going to put it in that box and say, oh, you're not going to treat me like you treated him. I'm going to bow up on you. Is that anybody here? Or is it just me? Okay. I'm sorry, Christian. It's just me. What can I say? I'm just a poor, lost Florida State fan. Here's another one, fits of rage. Fits of rage.
Have you ever stormed out of church with something that you heard? I have. You haven't seen it, but there was a time past. I have. Or how about you driving on the interstate? Could we talk about that for a minute? Anybody here? Anybody here? They cut me off. I told the story before. There was one time guy cut me off. I had Cindy in the car. I thought we was dead for sure. Just as I began to flick him off and blow the horn, Cindy goes, Father, you have your collar on. Woo! Woo! Fortunately, she said it before the hand got in full display. Look, come on, we're laughing at it. But the struggle is real. It is real. They are some dumb people out there driving. And it can stir up a fit of rage in me. Or how about the person or the cashier in the checkout line at the store when you're just grabbing one item and they're going to write a check or they're going to count out pennies from their change purse and something just wells up in you and it ain't pretty. It ain't precious. It's vile. Don't get my order wrong at the drive-thru. Because you are going to get my wrath, and your manager's going to hear about it as well. All I wanted was a burger and a potato and a drink. You can't do that, right? Okay, I'm sorry. It's just me. Okay, y'all pray for me. The last one is envy. Pull this, too. This is bothering me. Excuse me. Woo! Ah! Okay. Woo! I've been set free. Save the best one for last. Envy. You ever get jealous of what somebody else has? Or the favor that they're shown? Okay, maybe not. Envy's a little difficult until Father Ed stands up here and talks about his day on the boat. Now, we all get envy then because we want to have a boat and we want to be out there just in the wind, just relaxing in the quiet and the peace and quiet. Amen? Just a little rises up. But it did. It's there. I know this is a wide buckshot. Okay, buckshot, you click it and you hit anything within 40 feet. I know that there's a little splatterings going on. So I'm not going to leave you right there. I'm going to give you some advice. The first thing we have to recognize is Jesus says in order to follow him, we must deny our flesh. Right? And take up our cross. Casey, you don't have to take up my cross. You don't have to take up Father Looker's cross because that would be one big one. But anyway, you have to take up your cross. We are each responsible. It's our cross. We can waste an entire lifetime in a ministry dealing with other people's crosses. But we need to focus on our cross. Let each one work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. What might be vile in me is not vile in you. But what's vile in you might not be vile in me. But what's vile in me needs to be placed on that cross. And guess what? Not once a week. Not during the general confession on Sunday, if we happen to make it to church. Not even at night before we lay our head down. If that was the case, he'd say, go home and pick up your cross. Leave the cross at the church, and when you get there, pick it up. No, he says, take up your cross. Bring it with you everywhere, every day, every hour, every moment. Why? Because that vile stuff comes up when you least expect it, and it needs a place to go so it's not stuck in there with the precious. We have to take up that cross every day that we might take our flesh and nail it to that cross so it can be redeemed when that stone is rolled away. Amen? We can't do this ourselves. I am 60 years old now. I am the poster child for failed doing it on my own. It's really a simple thing, but yet the hardest thing we are called to do. It's the hardest thing we are called to do because it's not easy dying to yourself. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy, there'd really be nothing to die to. It would be, rather than die to yourself, it would be, just forget about it. Just forget about it. No, because if we forget about it, if we pretend it's not there, it's going to grow. So my question to you today is, on your cross that you are carrying, what is the Holy Spirit putting His finger on in your life? What is He touching and saying, that's impure? Is it ambition? Is it personal desire? Is it a secret lust? Is it a holier-than-thou attitude to a worldly person? That's not Jesus. Is it unforgiveness? Whew, it's getting quiet in here. The cross was enough. The cross is enough. If we just allow, if we just hold those things up and say, it's here. I don't know what to do with it. Please put it on the cross. We don't get there by pretending it's not there. We don't get there by not acknowledging it, by not recognizing it, by not owning up to it. See, I'm afraid to own up to it because if I own up to it, then I have to do something about it. At least that's what I think. The only thing that I have to do, and the only thing I can do, is God, here is that vile thing in me.
that is trying to exist with the precious gift you have placed in me. Please take it. Please do something with it. I don't want it. I can't get rid of it enough. I can't change it enough. I can't pretend enough. There is nothing I can do save the cross of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I acknowledge to you this morning that there are things in me that do not display your glory. There are words, there are feelings, there are actions, there are thoughts that do not glorify your name, that do not show the light of Christ in my life. Heavenly Father, those things that you are revealing to me even now, I hold them up to you. I ask you by your love, by your grace, and by your mercy that you allow them to go on that cross, that they might be redeemed, that they might die as you live. Lord God, let my life be an example of your glory, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.